There is a small word that we often come across in God's Word, and it might be considered as one of the greatest words in the Gospel. It's the word, come. It's the Lord God who said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. Men and women, what a blessed invitation that was for the Lord to speak to the heart of a sinful man born of Adam's fallen race. There is only one ark and only one who issues forth such an invitation, and that is the God of all salvation. It is a word which is constantly and continually found to be in God's Word. It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself who said, come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the word which is found in the opening of the canon of Scriptures is also the same word of invitation which closes the Scriptures. For Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. It's a word that dissolves distance. It brings saint and sinner alike to the one who can give that fullness of joy and that pleasure forevermore. It's a word which is found in our passage tonight. For the Lord, He was to come walking on the water toward the disciples in the boat in the midst of the night. And fearing because they didn't know who it was, Peter was to issue forth a challenge that if it was really the Lord, then he would bid him to come unto him, to which the Lord was to reply simply in verse 29, come. The distance between them would be dissolved. The man who had another occasion in a boat was to say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, was now bidden to come unto the Lord, walking upon the water. Dear sinner, tonight, it is the same Christ that we seek to uplift before you. And bless His name, He still issues the same invitation in the Gospel to sinful lost men so that they might be saved. And the place where you need to get to, and what needs to happen for God's salvation to be realized in your life, is found in this instance where Peter was to make his way to the Lord at his own bidding. The message of the Gospel, I believe, is contained in the words of my text yesterday. For therein we're brought to consider a sinner's prayer. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I want you to consider with me his realization. It took a step of faith for Peter to leave the boat and to start to make his way to the Lord. And he did so at the very bidding of the Savior himself. It was the Lord who commanded him to come. It was the Lord who told Peter to come to him. This was a miracle of the greatest proportion. The Savior has the power in Himself to walk in the water. I've heard of those modernists of today who dismiss this passage out of hand, for they said that the Lord merely walked in the shallows. That's not what I believe. That's not the God of the Scriptures. And neither is it what we find that is taught in this passage. For if you care to look at the words of verse 24, you will see and read that the boat was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. There's nothing shallow about that. The Savior is the one who made the seas, and He put them in their place. And because He is God, and He had all power, He had therefore the power to walk upon the water. And Peter was taking those few steps, being held up and enabled by the power of Christ. But you know, alas, verse 30 brings in a great change. And the opening word denotes such a change, for it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid.
There was a realization of certain things on the part of Peter. He realized that there was a strong wind against him. He no doubt could hear its howling. He certainly could feel it in his face against him. And what's more, the evidence of his strength, it was all around him because it was tossing up the waves into him. There was a force which seemed to want to keep him from going on and getting close to the Lord. I want you to picture in your mind's eye that scene, with the waves beating against the boat. And Peter, being a fisherman of old, he would have known all about the power of those waves and the power of the sea itself. They were beating and tossing all around him, and he was to realize that they were strong. And that is the sense behind the word boisterous. Because of their strength, that meant that his gaze was taken off the one who had invited him to come unto him. He was now taken up with the strength of the circumstances around him, namely the sea and the wind and the waves. And he realized that they were against him. You know, he realized something else. He realized that he was beginning to sink. He could feel himself going down into the depths. He was sinking into the midst of that great sea. There was nothing that he could do for himself. He couldn't reach the safety of the boat. Those in the boat couldn't help him either. Here was Peter sinking. All hope seemed to be ebbing away quickly. Fear had gripped him. He believed he was going down to a watery grave. He realized he was sinking. He was to realize something else. He realized he needed to be saved. He had to come to that realization. Having been on that sea numerous times as a fisherman, I believe Peter more than anyone else would have known its hidden dangers, its undercurrents. And he would have been the first to realize that he could not save himself. If he was going to be saved, then someone else needed to do it. And I wonder, my dear sinner friend in our meeting tonight, have you come to the realizations that Peter was to be aware of here? Do you realize that you're on the sea of life and the devil in all his power is seeking to keep you from getting to the one who is the Savior of the world? There have been those times when you've heard the Savior's invitation. And he has invited you to come unto him. Oh, but there have been those circumstances which have kept you back. There have been those hindrances. There have been those barriers to keep you from coming to Christ. And they have been against you. It might be the company that you stay in. It might be those old things that you like to be at in your life. It might be the old nature which is against God. And all these things are against you. How true the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the words of verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, let it be understood tonight that the devil doesn't want you to get saved. The devil doesn't want you to get to the Savior. He will try all in his power to keep you in the darkness and to keep you in the blindness of your sin. I wonder tonight, do you realize because of your sin that you're sinking? You're sinking down into a Christless eternity. And all sins that you dabble with, oh, you're much deeper in them now and they have a grip upon your life. It might be the fags, it might be the bottle and the drink, it might be the immorality, it might be 100 other things, but all those sins have gripped you tonight, and you're sinking. And you're sinking into a Christless eternity. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden,
He sinned against God, and God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he was to die that day that he took of the forbidden fruit. And he was dying physically. He died spiritually. And he was in danger of dying eternally. And so are you tonight. You're dying. You're sinking into a Christless eternity. But I wonder, do you realize it? Do you realize it tonight? That every day you're getting closer and nearer to that place where God knows no mercy. You're getting nearer to the caverns of the damned, which is referred to as the lake of fire in the Scriptures. Oh friend, tonight listen. Your sin has taken you to hell. That's where you're sinking to. I wonder, do you realize it? Have you the realization about you that you're in need of being saved? That's it. I trust you understand tonight that there's nothing complicated about this message. You need to be saved. I've already read the verse that if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And those two categories are the only two categories in this meeting tonight. You're either saved or you're lost. Lost in your sin. Lost without a Savior. There's nothing that you can do for yourself. The waters of baptism can't save you. Your confirmation, your church attendance can't save your soul. You can't work for your salvation. Just as Peter couldn't work himself out of the sinking, and none more so than the man, the dying thief on the cross, could even work for his salvation. You can't hold on to the coattails of a godly loved one to take you to glory. If you are to be saved, then it must be through another. And realizing your lost state and realizing your lost condition before God and your undone state as a sinner born into this world and realizing your need of the Savior, listen, that's the first step that will bring you to call upon Him in mercy. Let me ask you, have you got to that place yet tonight? Have you got to that place? Let me show you secondly here his response. Realizing the great and the grave danger to which he was in, Peter was then to make a response which ought to be noted. You have it in the words of our text in verse 30 and says, "And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." His response was to pray. How often the Scriptures exhort the sinner to pray. We can think of the publican tonight in the temple. That man who would not so much as lift his eyes heavenward, but smote upon his breast, for that was the root of the problem, and the root of the problem is your heart tonight. He smote upon his breast and he cried, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the word merciful is propitiatious. Lord, appease thy wrath for me. Lord, be merciful to me. Turn away thy wrath for me. That man, we read, went home justified. Rather than the Pharisee who prayed with himself. Who went through religious motions. But his praying, his words never reached heaven itself. There's a man who prayed, there's a sinner who prayed. Or you have the great text, of course, of Romans 10, 13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, prayer is the means, prayer is the vehicle by which a penitent sinner can speak to the Lord God. And I say this tonight, dear soul, that you do not need a so-called priest nor a confessional box. You do not need a preacher tonight or a prelate to get you to God. Why? Because there is one who is seated at God's right hand, who is our great high priest. And whoever lives to make intercession with us for all them that will come unto God by him. Peter, in a realization that he was sinking, he was to pray. And I want you to see it, and it wasn't a long prayer. It may have been one of the shortest prayers that Peter ever was to pray. It was a prayer which was direct. There was no fanciful words here. There was no filling out of a few moments by words, by way of phrases. It was direct. It was to the point. It was directed solely to one person. He said, Lord! In the midst of the storm and the howling winds, he was heard to cry out to the Lord. There was only one who could help him. He had already seen that day the power of the Lord, where the sick had been healed, the multitudes had been fed with a few loaves and with a few fishes. Peter understood that he was in the presence of one who was all-powerful, and the one who could walk upon the water, and the one who could feed the multitudes was the one who could also save him. And he said, Lord. His prayer was personal. Lord, save me. At that point in time, his only care was for himself. He wasn't concerned about the danger that others were in. This was not a time for to look around and see the others that were in the boat. You know, so often, as we even intimated this morning, there are those who will sit in a gospel message under the preaching of the gospel, and there are those who may sit and they'll think within their own hearts, oh, that's a good message for so-and-so. That person over there who's living a reckless life should take heed to this message. That's surely for them. Listen, that wasn't how Peter thought. He prayed a prayer which was personal. He said, Lord, save me. Me. It was a prayer which was urgent. Lord, save me. Time was of the essence. Time was short. There was little time for him to be saved. He was quickly going down. He was sinking into the waves in the depths of that sea. He did not cry out for the Lord to save him when he got to the shore. He didn't say, Lord, save me tomorrow. No, there was urgency about his prayer. He needed to be saved, and there was no time to waste. The salvation of the Lord, which he required, was there and was now. How many have made vows unto the Lord after they have known his Spirit striving with them? Maybe you have said words to this effect. Maybe you were in a difficult spot. You didn't know where to turn. And even as an unsaved soul, you shot some words heavenward. You might have said some words like this, Lord, I'll get saved tomorrow night. Lord, I'll give my life to you when you get me out of this trouble. Lord, if you bring me through the exams, I'll give my heart to thee. Lord, I'll get saved when I'm such and such an age. Of course, you've done it in your ignorance, because the Bible reminds us that except the Spirit draw them, they cannot come. You can't get saved when you like. That's not what the Bible teaches. Peter, when he prayed with urgency. And the Bible reminds me tonight, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of God's salvation. I wonder, is this going to be your reaction to the gospel message this evening? If you think tonight that you're all right, you think tonight, preacher, I don't do those things maybe that you've intimated. I'm not like those down the road or down the street. You think you don't need to be saved. Listen, then there's nothing the Lord can do for you. For the Lord was to say in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's where I started off tonight, showing you the realization. You've got to realize that you are a sinner. You've got to realize where your sin is taking you to, or you will never seek the Lord. and see its soul tonight in danger of being lost forever, will you pray? Will you pray as you have never prayed before for the Lord to save you? Will you cry from the depths of your soul for the Lord to forgive you for your sins and to save you? Will you cry unto the one who took the sinner's place on the cross of Calvary? Will you pray to the one tonight who is the mighty to save? My dear friend, there is urgency required on your part, for not one of us know what a day may bring forth. Far too long have you put off God's salvation through the person of His blessed and His beloved Son. Far too long have you in your pride put off these things which are eternal. Oh, tonight will you throw down the puny arms of rebellion. Will you seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near? Peter's prayer was very short, just 3 words. But not a better response could you give tonight to the gospel. I wonder, is it going to be your response? Are you going to be found in prayer tonight for the Lord to have mercy in your soul? Let me show you finally here His rescue. You see, having seen His need and having prayed out to the Lord, Peter was to know a rescue from the depths and a rescue by the Savior. You look at the words of verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You'll notice it was a rescue which was immediate and instant. The very moment of time when Peter called upon the Lord to save him, he was to know the experience of being rescued. There was no delay in the part of the Lord. And you know, men and women, there was no delay in the part of the Savior to come as the only Savior. For or but when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He came at the exact time. And He came as born of a virgin, walking amongst men as a sinless Lamb of God. And in obedience to the Father's will and in His timing, He was to ascend Golgotha's brow. And there He was to lay down His life for sinners and for wretches. Listen, something else, it was a rescue which involved the stretching forth of His hand. Peter was sinking deep into those waters. But when he called upon the Lord, he was to know that mighty hand been stretched out and lifting him up from those depths. He was to be lifted up out of the waters and he was to be enabled to walk with the Lord to the boat again. Look at verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You see, once the Lord rescues a soul in salvation, He also enables them to walk with them. The old devil will come to the unconverted tonight and they will say to you, you know, boy, that preacher's right, you need to be saved. He's dead right, the scriptures tell you you're going to hell because of your sin. But oh man, listen, you'll not be able to keep it. You'll make a fool out of yourself and you'll be a hypocrite. Listen, that's the lies of the devil. And he's a liar from the beginning. For the Lord who saves is the one who enables us to walk. His grace is sufficient. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's never a case of once the Lord saves us that He then leaves the person to themselves. The Lord stretched out His mighty hand and rescued Peter. And it was a rescue which enabled him to make his way fully and completely back to the boat. Do you see it? Peter and the others knew the Lord sailing with them to the other side. How true the words of the little chorus, when Christ is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. The winds were to cease when they went into the boat. There was a great worshipping of the Lord. Their eyes and their understanding were open to realize that truly He was the Son of God. Dear soul, tonight when the Lord rescues in salvation, there is the assurance that He will bring you safely to that other side, to that eternal shore. This book doesn't preach a gospel that brings you 3/4 the way there, or 5/8 of the way there. or 7/8 of the way there. The salvation that Christ purchased on the cross, it brings His children right there to the eternal shore. You look, for example, at the words of John chapter 10 and verse 28. What does that say? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When Christ saves, listen, He brings us right to heaven. He brings us to the other side, just in the sense in which the Lord was to bring the disciples to the other side of the lake. And of course, that was promised in the words there of verse 22 and 23. Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go before Him onto the other side. The word of God, the word from the Lord was, that's where they were going. No storm, nor no winds, nor no hindrances of the waves would ever stop them from getting there. Let me ask you, are you going to that eternal shore tonight? Yes, in the context, Peter here is a disciple he saved. He's already a disciple. But what a picture this is of the rescue of God's salvation to that needy soul who is perishing. The salvation that the Savior purchased on the cross of Calvary was a full and a complete one. He died for all the sins of all His people. He took all those sins in their totality and He made them His very own. He who knew no sin yet became sin for us. And there on that cross He was made sin. And there on that cross He paid the penalty and the punishment for our sin. And God the Father could not look upon Him, and He blackened out Calvary for those hours. Oh, men and women, there on that cross His blood was shed as an atonement for our souls. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the debt of our sin was paid by the Lord. How did He do it? He stretched forth His hands to receive those nails. But it wasn't the nails that kept Him there. It was His love for those whom the Father gave Him. His love for sinners and rebels such as we. My dear friend, will you call upon the Lord to save you this night? And know that immediate salvation and forgiveness of sin in a moment of time. For that's what the Lord does. You will know tonight that experience of which the psalmist could speak of been lifted up from the miry clay. Your feet set upon the rock. Under tonight, will you by faith look away from your good works? Look away from your church attendance and your church ordinances. Look away from your own righteousness. Whatever else you're depending on. Will you look upon the One who died for you? The One who promises never to leave His people. For He says, I will be with you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He'll bring you right to that other shore, that eternal shore. Will you look away by faith tonight to the blessed Son of God and be saved? Can I leave just one final thought with you? And we've been thinking about the eternal shore. When we get to heaven, that is God's people who are saved and washed in the blood. What are we told about that place? Let me just leave this thought with you. We're told in Revelation 21 and verse 1, if I can read the verse to you. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. There's no more sea. You think of the sea. There was a distance between that boat and those disciples and the Lord. When we get to glory, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more separation. No more distance between Christ and His people. No more sea. You can be sure of heaven tonight. If you will but call upon the Lord who is mighty to save. But you must realize that you're the sinner. You need to repent of your sin. You must realize that He alone can save your soul. Will you come? While others have known the Lord's voice speaking to them, and others have been saved, what about you? Will you come tonight and settle this great eternal matter? God help you to come. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight for His own name's sake.